God bless you, brothers and sisters. Once again, this is Apostle and Prophet C. Polite. Amen. Coming to you in the way of a subject that I would like to discuss today, manhood and womanhood. We call these the 10 M's. And I would like to just give a little outlay today. Amen. Praise God. First of all, I want to say I'm thank God for all of you, and I'm praying for you and your families during this pandemic time that we are going through in this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is the strongest power, and because He is, we're not defeated, because this is the Lord's work. Amen. I want to first give you a little outlay on manhood and womanhood. Number one, manhood. God makes the man before He makes a ministry. Everybody today is in a hurry and pursuing a ministry. Amen. And wanting to tear the pulpits down and tear the doors down, but they don't want to be delivered or made themselves. So I'm going to give an outlay today, and I'm going to talk a little bit on this subject and see if we can bless you and help you. Amen. Follow along, those of you that have your Bibles at home and wherever you might be at, praise the Lord. You can follow along with the prophet. Amen. Praise God. As I begin to open up this here class, this thesis, and give some clarity and precision on where we're going about manhood and womanhood. Number one, again, manhood. God makes a man before He makes the ministry. It means that God wants to deal directly with you. God said, I made man in my own image and likeness. And how can man know what he is to minister to or what his ministry will be about if he's not in the Lord, or he's not created back into the image that God had formed him? Man strayed away from God back in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Praise the Lord. The tempter, the devil, came in and separated man from God. So therefore, when he done that, he put his spiritual mind to sleep. And when he put his spiritual mind to sleep, his God mind to sleep, he could not no longer see what God put him here to ministry. So God have to make the man first before He gives him a ministry, instead of man and woman running for ministry and not even being made in the image and likeness of God, or not even delivered. So this here chart that I have here says manhood, womanhood, ministry, and then message. I'm giving you the 10 M's. The first M is manhood. The second would be ministry. The third is message. God's going to give you the message. Now notice I'm giving them to you in the chronology order in which they come. Manhood, God going to make the man. He going to make the woman. Then He going to give the man and the woman a ministry. And then when the ministry comes, they'll have a message. So message, and then maturity, then marriage, then methods, then manners, then money, then morality, then motive. We're going to talk about these in the order in which they come, so that you can understand exactly where God is taking us. All right? Once again, so those of you that got your Bible, you can follow along with me. Amen. Praise God. So number one, we're going to deal with manhood. God makes a man before He makes a ministry. Manhood. First chapter book that I like for you to go into, it's in the book of Genesis. Let's look at Genesis 1:26-27. That's where we're going to be at. Genesis, the first chapter. And we're going to look at, amen, praise the Lord, the 26th verse. So we're going to go from 1, and we're going to look at the 26th verse and the 27th verse. And this is what it said. Then God said, let us, plural, make man, there we go, see, God make the man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. 27 verse. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He created him, male and female created He them. That's why you see the manhood and the womanhood. Now we'll talk about that, because the woman comes out of the man. The man comes out from God. Later you'll see that God will use the man to bring the children out of the woman. But if something was to go on later on further, because we're going further, your past is not your future and your future is not your past. And as we proceed further and notice when something go wrong in our life, watch the domino reflection. The woman, when something go wrong with the children, notice what they do. They don't fall back on the daddy. They didn't come out from daddy, they came out from mama. They fall back on their mother. The mother catches them. Notice that the weight of the children in the arms of the mother, as the mother catches them, she leans backwards and falls in the arms of the man. And notice that now the weight of the children on the man and the wife on the man, he leans back and falls right back in the arms of God. Do you understand where I'm coming from now? All right, there go your domino reflection. So you see, but we're living in a world today where we're taking things out of its context. You see, now that they're bypassing the man, and now it's all about the woman, the children, and the woman, and the man, he's playing third base here. When God made him, and he's the provisionary, and the vision, and the provider, amen, as God take care of him, he is to take care of his family. He's trusting in God. Now, when we keep going forward, the wife trusted in her husband. When we keep going forward, you'll see the children trusting in mama. But we know where the provisionary come from. All that come from the man that come from the God. Do you see the covering here? All right. God bless you. We hope you got that. Now, the second verse I would like to read that we're going to deal with is man. Okay. Now, remember what I say. God makes the man. And then he gives the man a ministry. Okay, so let's look at the second verse in Romans. We're going to go to Romans here now. Turn with me to the book of Romans. And then we go to Romans here. I want you to look with me now at the 8th chapter of Romans. Let's look at chapter 8 of Romans. And then let's go down to the 27th verse. All right, stay with me now. All right, here's how it reads. Now, we're going to talk about, we always see in Genesis, God makes a man before he manifesting a mighty ministry. The man have to be dealt with before the ministry. God makes a man before manifesting a mighty ministry to the man. Glory be to God. Now, I want you to look back in Genesis with me for a minute, and then watch this. When God made Adam, amen, praise God, the number 6 is 1,000 years is as one day, 6,000 years in that garden. But I want you to check this out with me. You notice that all the animals God did not make. The Bible said he just caused the animals to appear. But the ministering of the naming of the animals and take care of the animals was for Adam. But the animals could not get a name or get ministered to or get fed with or attended to until God made man. So when he made man, guess what he did now? He gave him a ministry. Minister to these animals. Glory be. Are y'all still with me now? All right. Now in Romans, we see man with a hyphen here, apart from position. And then comma, message or ministry. All right. Stay with me for a minute. Man, okay, apart from his position of what he's supposed to do. Message or ministry. So let's look at Romans here. 8:29. So let's look at the 29th verse here. We're going to check the 29th verse out. And it says here, For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. See? So Adam was a son of God. I want you to understand that. Adam and the angels are the original sons of God. Alright? Because Adam had no mother. Adam had no father. And see, God created him from the dust of the ground. Breathed into his nostrils, his nose, his pluma, okay, his breath, and man became a living soul. So it says now, in here, alright, for who? That word whom, always drop the M off of who? Whom, and you'll find it says who. For who he foreknew or knew before. All right. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to be made in the image and likeness of his son. Glory be to God. I feel the Holy Spirit right there. Do y'all, you with me now? Okay. Now, I want you to get this here. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Adam was the firstborn among many brethren. Like when Jesus Christ came, see, in the New Testament, he was the firstborn and the first begotten of the dead. Oh, glory be to God. Somebody had to have the authority and the power to raise dead. Amen. Prior to that, everybody that died just stayed dead. Ain't that a good news right there? And nobody had power to raise the dead. So Jesus, so it says here that who, watch this here, he foreknew, let's turn that backwards, knew before, hallelujah, he came out of his mind as a thought, let us make man. See, we already knew what we wanted to do, but we brought that manifestation into fruition. All right, so now he also predestined to be conformed, all right, in the image of his son. So he made him like his own son. Adam was the son of God. He had no son, not a son of a man, not the son of a woman, wasn't born of woman, see, but the son of God. That's Old Testament for you. That's that we go into the New Testament and we see that God had to send the Holy Spirit, amen, to interrupt a marriage engagement between Joseph and Mary. Amen. And overshadowed the woman. Come on, praise the Lord. And she was found pregnant. Amen. Praise God. With, to give birth to the Savior when he comes. See how Satan in the garden, he comes, take the man's wife, goes through her mind, and pregnate her with his seed, with false doctrine. Amen. Doctrinizing man and woman to go against the principles and the biblical principles of God. Putting their God mind to sleep, and they were awakened to a new world with Satan being the new sheriff in town. Come on, pray God, a new kid on the block, but the God of this world age and the prince of this air. Now we're under another whole new set of rules here. So we had to leave Genesis and go all the way in the middle of the book to Psalm 51 and 5, where it said, now in sin did my mother conceive me. In what? In sin. Oh, what sin did my mother conceive me? The sin of my foreparent, Adam and Eve. Where they fell at in the garden, well, that's what I was born in. I was born in the mess that they fell in. Glory be to God. So God made man, and apart from man's position, he gives him a message and a ministry. Ain't God good? Glory be to God. Are you with me now? Are you still with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me? So that he might be the firstborn. Adam was the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, the 30th verse said, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You'll hear that term in the biblical church and in our churches today. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. And so he's just saying it to you in a different way here. Moreover, who he had predestined, these that he had predestined was called. So that's the many are called. And then whom he had called, these he also justified. See what I'm saying? That means that qualified. And then who he justified, these he also glorified. Making a difference in their life. So God, we see here God making man, and then apart from his position, because God got to deal with him first, then he gives him a message or a ministry. Are you still with me? Okay, let's go to the next chapter here. We're going to go to Hebrew. Let's find Hebrew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're thanking God for what the Lord is doing. Amen. And we're hoping that these message can reach your heart, and because it's time for teaching. I'm tired of folks, I'm tired of tradition, denomination, misleading people. And Bible said, out of all you're getting, get an understanding. And people are coming to church, but still are not understanding that they are the church. It's one thing to come to the church. It's another thing to know you are the church that you're coming to. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus is the head of your church. Hebrews, we're going to go Hebrew, and we're going to look at the second chapter of Hebrew, and then we're going to start somewhere rounding about the sixth verse. Let's see what that says today. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Isn't that beautiful? See, that was saying, so man apart from his position, okay, now message and ministry. But here you're going to see that man is a personality, evaluating the person, not the performance. So what God is doing is he's making the man. And in making the man, he's making man where we can evaluate him. Oh, glory be to God. It's hard to evaluate something that's not, that doesn't exist. Okay? So he's making the man. So here we see personality, which evaluating the person, not performance. I wrote in my book, the tree is known by the fruit it bear. And I gave images of a tree, a live tree. Because in this world today, even in our marital relationships and relationships period in the world, man meet woman and woman meet man, and we just look at the outward external part of what we see. Oh, she fine. Oh, he handsome. Oh, the both of them is put together like a fine piece of leather. But what you don't understand here is that we're just looking at what each other look like, and we see them, but we really don't see what we are looking at. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said that that is a tree. And that's why I teach to people. He said that we should look at people like trees, because he said, Jesus came along and said, "I see men like trees." Amen. When he touched the man, he said, "How do you see?" He said, "I see men like trees now." But before he had a touch by God, or before he was made by God, or delivered by God, he did not see men like a tree or women like a tree. They just went with trees, unfruitful trees. They didn't care what kind of tree was. They were just hooked up with a tree. But the Bible said that the tree is known by the fruit that it bear. Now, when we teach here in the ministry about fruit, we're not talking about a tangible piece of fruit like an apple, orange, banana, pear, plum, grapes. No. We're talking about the characteristics of a person. And here we'll see in the making of the man, that when God made the man, he's dealing now with his person. He made him with a personality where he could be evaluating the person and not what they do. Personality, evaluating the person and not the performance. Stop looking at so much what a person does or has, and look at the fruit and see if the fruit bears witness of the maker. Hallelujah. Remember now, Adam and Eve fell in that garden, and Satan became their new God and Lord. And now today, God has fixed it so by personality and character that we can evaluate the person and not their performance or what so much they do, so we can know who's doing the making and who he is following, or who is covering him and who is his Lord. Are you still with me? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. This is good, y'all. Praise God. Amen. So personality. Amen. Everybody has a personality. And sometimes personality is overlooked when you're lusting. You see? Because you desire the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, it become the pride of life. But God gives us a personality so for evaluating the person and not the performance. You can get hooked up on Delphonics, and you can easily get hooked up on so much of what a person does. He got a good job. He make good money. He drives a nice car. He got a beautiful home. But what is his personality like? Huh? Don't look at the outward or the external part. It says God, a man looks at the outward appearance, but it said God looks at the heart. Don't grab your chest, my friends. I'm not talking about the organ that's in the chest cavity. No, I'm not talking about the pump that pumped the blood into our bodies 24 hours to keep the blood running warm. But I'm talking about what Peter said, let it be the hidden man of the heart, the one that makes the heart beat. Notice we got heartbeats. But after we are deceased and gone from this earth, the heart no longer beats. So that means that there's something else that causes even the organ to pump. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? So it got to be the mind is the real heart that I want to talk to you today about. Let not your heart, the ticker, be troubled when you come to God. Because it is your mind that brings the trouble to the heart that's in your chest. But we will run straight to the hospital to get our chest hooked up to the EKG and all plugged up. But you won't get your head plugged up. That's what's wrong with you. Tell the Lord thank you. See? And all your stress and burdens and misery and torment comes from mind manipulation. The devil plays because this is his kingdom. This is his domain. And because why? He of course Adam and Eve to fall, and he became Lord over them. So this is his house. Live set by his rules until we are born again. So when I go to Psalms and say, in sin did my mother conceive me, and amen, I was born and shaped in iniquity. Now I got to leave Psalms and go all the way to the gospel. Find the gospel, which is good news. There is some good news in this, my friends. St. John 3, he met a man by the name of Nicodemus and said, hey, marvel not by what I'm about to tell you, my brothers. You must be born again, because that birth of your mother that came from that birth of your foreparent grandmother Eve and Adam prohibited you from coming into the kingdom of God, because he said no sin. What? No sin. I want to share a word with you right here. No sin. Nonsense. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's nonsense. Because no sin can enter into the kingdom of God. And I was born in sin, which makes it nonsense for me to think that I can go with Jesus, and I was born in sin when he said no sin, nonsense, can come into the kingdom of God. I wish I had three people that want a breakthrough right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Amen. So I had to do something about that nonsense of mine and that sin that I was born in, that I had heard from my mother, that I came into this world. Every baby that's born is born with blood on them, and the nurse have to clean it up. So we're born with the stain and the sin stain and the blood of Satan on us that we have to get cleaned up from. So Nicodemus said, marvel not what I'm about to tell you. You must be born a second time again. So we had to come and be born again in order to go into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. So I had to be born again. Amen. And then through that birth, had to come through another blood, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the psalm writer said, and the hymn writer said, what can make me whole again? What can restore me? What can revive me? What can repair me? Oh, glory. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus came and washed me clean and washed off the blood of my mother that came from the blood of Eve. Glory be to God. Amen. Where she inherited from Satan. Ain't God good? Can I get somebody right there to just lift your hands wherever you are and give that a shout out right there? Amen. Now, the last scripture in the manhood that I want to talk about is in 1 Timothy 2:5. We're going to go there, and we're going to give you a little bit of Timothy here, and then we're going to conclude our matter, and then on next week you come back, we're going to give you our next lesson. We're going to talk to you. We're going to do this series. It's a series, but I want you to understand exactly what God is doing and how he is doing it and who he doing it through. Amen. Can I get a witness there? All right. 1 Timothy 2, we're going to look at that, and then we're going to go down to the 5th verse. Here's what it says right here. For there is one God, aren't you glad about that? And one mediator between God Woo, glory be to God. And men, the man Christ Jesus. There's what? Only one God. And then God sent only one mediator that is between you and me and God. And that was that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when God sent his son, he sent it in the form of a word. And then the word came all the way down here and transformed itself into a human. And a human met another human to let us know that we can live in this body free from sin, because he said, look at me. Now that the word came into the flesh, hallelujah, the word was made flesh. Watch this now. Now as he gives his word to our flesh, there is something that's going to go backwards here. Are you with me now? The word was made flesh. That's Jesus turned into a human. Now as the word get into our flesh, it's going to translate us back into the made in the image and likeness of God. So Jesus was the word, turned himself into a human. And then we are already humans, needing the word that turned itself into a human to turn us into him. I'm going to throw this Bible, but I want to say some more to you in the name of Jesus. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Do you need to take a break and go get you a cup of coffee? Are you still with me? All right, lift your hands and just give the Father a praise right there. Amen. So the mediator here is Jesus. And Jesus, amen, manhood took 30 years. So what make you think that we're going to be any different to want to run for a ministry if we have not delivered ourselves or present ourselves as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, where he can make us and prepare us like he did the mediator, Jesus? It took Jesus 30 years, amen, to get himself ready for a ministry. He just did, he came to minister, but he could not minister till after Jesus, God prepared him. He had to go through the devil. He had to go through this. He had to go through, he had to defeat the devil 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And after that, he had to be baptized by man. All these things. So God had to get him ready for the ministry. He didn't jump into ministry. Are you hearing me, preachers, today? Those of you that jumped in there. I said, Jesus, the one you're preaching about, didn't jump in there. So how are you going to jump over Jesus, who is your mediator between you and God? The one stands between you and God. The one you said you're preaching about, you love, you're ministering about. But the mediator can't minister to you. But you're ministering about the mediator. I wish I had three people that want to break through right there. Jesus, manhood, 30 years. And then he was given a ministry. Watch this, y'all. Are you ready? A tithe. Are you ready? He was given a tithe. Oh, this blow your mind. I know you're not hearing me. Took 30 years to prepare him for a ministry of 3.5. What is that? 10-1 ratio. Did you catch that? 10-1 ratio. God gave him a tithe. 30 years. See? And 3.5 years, that's what it took, of his ministry. He didn't have 30 years of ministry. He had 30 years of getting ready for a ministry. And then handed a ministry that only lasted for 3.5 years. He had to pay a tithe of himself. He became a tithe. Are you with me? Did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy that? Amen. Praise God. That's how God make man before he give him a ministry. So once again, Genesis declared, God makes a man before manifesting a mighty ministry. Romans said, man apart from his position. If you're going to give a position, you have to first be made to handle the position. Then the message and the ministry come. Personality, evaluating the person, not the performance. What do we say? Stop looking at what a person do, or what he possess, or what they have, more than their character or their fruit. We got a lot of them standing in the pulpit today, and we got a lot of them that it's over churches today, and because of what they possess or they have, but they're standing there not in the image of the one they're supposed to be preaching about, with the wrong personality. Can I get three people to say something back to me? Praise the Lord. Amen. So personality, and I wrote in my book that a man can be with a woman and a woman can be with a man. And let me see if I can illustrate this to you. And then you keep telling one another how much you love them, but you're not evaluating their personality or their character. So, and they're not willing to change their ways or change and be delivered or be better at whatever they do. And so you stay right there and tolerate and put up with it and continue to say how much you love them while you are eating from their bowl of fruits. And the fruits is rotten. And you're sitting there saying, "You make me sick." He said back, "You make me sick too." And neither one of you don't mean that. You're just sick. And why you don't even know why you're sick? Because you are eating what you really don't like about that person in the name of "I love you." And they're not willing, and they stand right there and take the word "I love you," but not willing, if they really love each other, to change. And you sit there eating bad character, bad ways, bad habits in the name of "I love you, I love you, I love you." So the word "I love you" causes you to stay there, put up, tolerate, and keep putting up with what you said you don't like. That's really what's making you sick. And then it's not the person that make you sick. No. God said in the book of Genesis, he says, everything I made was good. It is what the devil has contaminated. See, the devil didn't create nothing. He just got into everything that was created. And he brought spoil to it. That's like having some meats or something out and it's bad. And then you know you smell it. And then you're talking about, "I'm a cook for dinner." What's wrong with your nose? Slip your hand and give God a praise. Why would you cook something and that's spoiled or bad and to make the family sick? So here again, we're talking about Jesus' manhood took 30 years of preparation. Because what do God did? He made the man. Then he made the ministry, which lasted for 3.5 years, 10-to-1 ratio. Amen. Is that good? So now we see that the manhood, that's what we dealt with first, and then the ministry come second. That's why this is another lesson. The ministry comes second. And then he will talk about ministry, which is no offense to ministry. Now the ministry, you find it in 2 Corinthians 6:3, no offense to ministry. 1 Corinthians 2:4 talks about, and 5, power and demonstration. Now here I love this because it talks about your natural mind. And you have a carnal mind and you have a spiritual mind. 3 minds. Well, your natural minded, according to Corinthians 2:4, it said that the natural minded man cannot understand. So it's hard to understand what you're supposed to be doing if you not been prepared or made by the one who gave you the position or the assignment to do that. That's like walking into a factory and saying you know what to do and you ain't got no foreman, no overseer. And you just mess the man's business totally up. See? And you bring harm to your own self. So no offense to ministry. Hallelujah. God has said that the ministry and this gospel got to be preached to what? Power and demonstration. Ain't God good? It's not an offense. We can't. When we bring offense to ministry, we literally bring offense to Jesus, to God, who we ministering about. That's why Jesus took 12 men, unlearned, ignorant men, and poured himself over in them. And after 3.5 years, commissioned them. The same way we've seen over here, how God sent his word to become flesh, which became the mediator, the stand in between man and God. And so Jesus is the only one that can intercess or mediate or go to the Father on our behalf. We can't go to God on our own. We have to go through Jesus. He said, "No man come to the Father except he come through by me." So it's no offense to ministry. It's just that the ministry and the gospel got to be preached through power and demonstration. But your natural mind doesn't understand. So I call these the two jailhouse bars. Your natural mind and your carnal mind. Let's reiterate something about your carnal mind for a minute. I want you to understand that your carnal mind is your instigator. That is the biggest problem with all of us. Our carnal mind instigates your natural mind. It already knows that the natural mind does not understand. It probably didn't finish school. It wants to know, but just don't know. It's hard of hearing or hard of learning or whatever the problem might be. But it doesn't understand. And then here you got a party that instigates and talks to your natural mind. And it might go a little something like that. You with your little dumb self, you know you're never going to learn nothing. You ain't going to get nothing. Why do you read that book? Why do you go to school? Why do you go to church? Why are you listening to that crap? Why you do that? You see, there's a part of you that doesn't understand. That's your natural. And there's a part of you that instigate and provoke and persuade and entice the part of you that don't know and holding it back and keeping it from learning or becoming whatever you're supposed to be. And the only part of you that really understands God and wants something out of life and know where you're supposed, where you're headed, is your God mind. That's the spirit that God blew into man back in the Garden of Eden. That's the part of you that longs to, can't wait to get back to God, can't wait to get the glory, can't wait to get to school, can't wait to get to church, can't wait to get a good Bible to read, can't wait to get back in the prayer room. See, so but you got to go through your carnal and your natural. So you got a natural bar and a carnal bar, two jailhouse bars holding you in prison and you can't get free. Hallelujah. So until you can free you, stop trying to free me. Can I get a witness right there? All right. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? I thank God for that. Now we understand. In Matthew 7:15-21, it says, by their fruits. Here we go again. See that? Now we're talking about the ministry now. We already saw back in the making of the man that it was that the personality. Okay. So now we're saying, by their fruits you shall know them. Not by the ministry. Oh, that's a different, ain't it? Not by the name of the church. Not by what they're wearing or what they got on. Not by what they're driving or how much money they have. That's not what it is. It said, by their fruits. How do we dictate the fruits, prophet, man of God? Well, in Galatians 5:22 and Galatians 5:19, it will distinguish the fruits right there. Now the works of the flesh is manifested at these. And it will give you all the works that Satan will be doing through the ministry, through your mind, through your family, through your children, through your body, through your health. And then now, if you go to Galatians 5:22, it said, but the fruit, listen that carefully, but the fruit of the Spirit is manifested as these. And then you'll get a list that say love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now let me reiterate something to you right here so you won't get it twisted. Now the Bible speaks in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9. There are works of the flesh. There are 17. But you have to go over to 1 Timothy 3:1. And it says, this know also. That means the continuation of the works is hanging there. Go read that too. And when you total it up, you ought to have what Jesus took on his back for you. 40 minus 1 means 39 lashes that he went through for us. Now the fruits in the original transcript of the Greek, here's how that would read. In your regular Bible, it reads like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. But here's how the original transcript of that same scripture read like this. It says here, but the characteristics of God is as follow. Are you with me? That God is, one, a loving God, full of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle. It's talking about his way, his habit, his character. Verse you just reading about the fruit of the Spirit. And you ain't got no spirit, neither the fruit. To understand what I'm saying. See, we're talking about personality here. We're talking about stop looking at people from the outside and the tree from the outside, or how handsome or pretty they look or fine they look, and start listening to them and hear what they're saying so you can determine, by know them by their fruits, by their character, by their ways, by their habits, by their action. Are you with me? So it says, by their fruit you shall know them. Not by their work. It said by their fruit. See, you know the devil by what he do. You know God's children by their fruit. Okay? You go through the fruits to see if they belong to God. You go through the works of the flesh to see if they belong to the devil. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, now. By their fruits you shall know them. Alright, meaning, are they anointed? The anointing results is not what you see, it's what you hear. Isn't that beautiful? You see? Yes. So we got to understand that if the anointing is there and accommodating the fruits, the character, then guess what? That anointing is there. It is there to destroy the works of the flesh of the devil off the fruit, the character of God. So you can be able to distinguish and separate God from the devil. You see how the anointing is there along with the characters. So why would you say that the anointing is there? Okay, because the purpose of the anointing that represent the biblical spiritual Holy Ghost, or the oil we use in the church, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The anointing destroys every yoke. It lifts every burden. It breaks every curse. It gives you that yoke destroying, burden removing power of God, that demon chasing power, so that you be able to see behind the veil. So if it said by the fruits you shall know them, then it's not talking about a piece of fruit. It's talking about by their character. See, do they have the character of God, or do they have the work of the flesh? See, do you see love? And then if you see the love, it only means that that come from God, because the Bible said God is love. Now the devil, Bible never say the devil is love. He have no love bone in his body. No, the Bible said God is love, and we're made in the image and likeness of God. So if we have God, then we have love, and then wherever love is, the rest of the eight is hanging there. Because love, see, produces joy. You see what I'm saying? Now you'll see the fruits. And when you see a happy person, you know that that joyful person, you know that come from love. And when you see anything that come from love, you know that come from God. Amen. Because why? The anointing will destroy, amen, hate, so that you can see love, God. That's why the anointing is attached here, okay? So that you can see hate. The anointing is there when we walk in a room, a depressed room of sadness, and I'm supposed to be watching the fruit, and I will know this, these people in this room of sadness by their character, then the anointing must be there to know if the devil is in this room or if God is in this room. And though the anointing will destroy sadness so that I can see joy. And if joy is present, then God is in this room. If not, shake the dust off your foot and leave the room. Because there are spirits in here that attach themselves to people, called demonic spirits. That's what it's called, demon. What is that? Disembodied spirit. What do? They without a body, waiting on an excuse and a reason. They just need a body to walk in, a home that they can live in. So we want you to get this thing in the proper way. Now, ministry in Deuteronomy 18, close with this. It says prophecies or preaching, productive, proven pure and positive. Ooh, glory be to God. Isn't that something? The prophecies. That's not, that didn't say now. I'm going to read it to you. For all of you that like to do this, it did not say the witches, the warlocks, the palm readers, the Ouija boards, and the tarot cards. I didn't see that. I'm looking right at it. It says the prophecies. It didn't say false in front of prophecies. It says prophecies. So that means that there must be a prophet somewhere, a mediator, a true man, or a woman of God someplace that is preaching of the evangelion, of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prophets come from God, and the preaching is also good news from God, and it cannot be related to the devil. Though we have these, both of these qualities in the churches today, false prophecies, the devil got his own agent, and the preaching is not lined up with the word of God. So that's false preaching and teaching. That's what not make it what? Productive. Proven. It said prove all things. You follow the word of God. Nothing but the pure in heart shall see God. To the pure all things are pure. And then we teach here that the spirit of the eagle says that the eagle will either fly alone or he fly with his own kind. You will never see an eagle fly with a hawk or a buzzard. So we teach you that If you're positive, you cannot roam or follow or run with or connect with negative. So you see all of this in the ministry that will bring no offense. We got to stop bringing offense to the ministry, because when we do that, we offend God. Am I right about it? We offend Jesus. And who was Jesus today in our lesson? The mediator. And what does he do? He stands between God and you. So he watches you. Then he goes on our behalf and he pleads mercy to God about you. Because you can't go for yourself. Give God a praise. Hand me that cup, baby. That green one. Give God a praise. Now, we're so far, we're doing good. It sound good to you? All right. Now, we have covered in our lessons today, we've covered the manhood and womanhood. That one manhood, God makes the man and the woman before he makes a ministry. And we showed you the 10 M's. And that would be manhood, womanhood, ministry message, maturity, marriage, methods, manners, money, morality, and motive. And now we're just taking our time with you and we're breaking each entity down. I told you that the first thing was manhood. Well, God makes man before he makes a ministry. Everybody today want a ministry and don't want to be made. And you should not be in a ministry if you're not made for it. You should not belong to something you can't spell. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't understand the word souls, you don't need a ministry. If you don't know what deliverance is, you don't need a ministry. If you don't understand the plan of salvation or how to reach out and save, you don't need a ministry. But according to this, before I can understand how to save, it sounds like God has to deal first with the man. He wants to save me first before he save you. Ain't that good news? I must be apart from my position, message, and ministry, so I'll know what I am to do. And I have to come through my maker for that. Next thing God's going to deal with is my personality. Because personality is the fruit that we should be able to see when God finished making you. Personality evaluates the person and not the person's performance. It's not what a person do or have, but what they possess. Amen. Because they don't have God, all that they have. You remember the devil took Jesus up into a high pinnacle of the temple. And what did he do up there? He showed him all the kingdom and the glory of this world. And said, I'll give you all of this. Isn't that easy for him to do if he's now the new kid on the block or the new sheriff and the prince of the air and the god of this world order? And then he didn't cause Adam and Eve to lose everything that God really gave to them, that God created for them, paradise, the garden, all belong to God. And he gave it to Adam. And then the devil just comes into something that was given to somebody else and just took it. Lord, have mercy. Can you just picture your mother and father leaving you a house after they're gone? And here comes somebody that just comes in that don't even live there. Ain't even part of the family. And then they're talking about this my house. They just took the whole household deed and everything. Well, that's what happened. The devil came into Adam and Eve's home. And now he owns the home and he kicks them out of their own house. Isn't that God beautiful? Ain't there something? Lord, help me. Now we are dealing with the ministry and we're going to talk about bringing no offense to the ministry. So I gave you scriptures in Corinthians, no offense to the ministry. So we talk about power and demonstration. That will bring, when we break this word down, and preach it with power and then demonstrate it to where out of all you're getting you could get an understanding and break it down to your education, then we're not bringing offense to the ministry. But to sit there and preach over people's heads and preach to them and they don't know what you're talking about and you don't even know what you're talking about, but you're talking about it anyway, That's bringing offense to Jesus Christ. So we got to study the second thing we'll talk about, was the fruits of God. Was the fruits, the character of the person. And the character of the person must always reflect who they serve. Either your character is going to reflect the devil because you're still in this world. See? But Jesus came along and told us that we're in this world but not of it. And if I'm not of it, then my character, personality must reflect the one that I am of. I'm kingdomite. Amen. The characters must, the fruits must reflect the fruit of God. Must reflect Galatians 5:22, the characteristics of the Father. Then we see from that how God is. Then we heard from the same God that we see what he really looks like through the fruits, that he's loving, he's full of joy, he's peaceful, he tolerates, he puts up with a lot of stuff, he's long-suffering, he's gentle. Now when I look at the way my God actually looks in my eyes, in my spirit mind, then I hear him say in Genesis, let us make a man or son that looks like us. Oh, glory be to God. Whoa, I felt like running. I almost took off. But let us make a man that looks like us. Made in our own image and in our likeness with our qualities. And set him apart from the rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then we'll give him a minister. Give him something to do. Amen. Then he'll take care of all of what I created. He'll minister to this earth. He'll minister to my creation. He'll keep hope alive. He'll keep my creation alive. He can help me. See, the Bible says 6 days God created the heaven and earth. And then sin came in during those 6,000 years. And then God had the 6 days. He rested on the seventh. And then the sin came in and took over what God created, sat in the heart of our Savior, and then forced our God to have to go back, my children, to start an eighth day. An eighth day called the plan of redemption, meaning God had to go back to the drawing board and see how now he could get his children, his son and daughter, back out of the hands of the devil that took them. I pray God, and I hope that it was something today out of this lesson, because it's 10 that we have shared with you. And you notice right after the ministry, then he gonna give you something to say. It's called what? Called the message. A lot of you in the church today ain't got no message. And I wonder where you get your messages from. And you could be getting your message from here, say, she, say, he, they, say, them, all them say. And then bringing it to the house of the Lord. And you can't never break. So it says here, the message is to speak the truth in love. Do you see that? Isn't that something that's powerful? The message is always to be able to speak the truth in love. Now, when we go back and reiterate the message, speaking the truth in love, what did the prophet told you earlier that love is? Love is God. So one of the ways you think, if I'm to speak the truth in love and love is God, and that's his first characteristic, then what is he really saying to me? That the message is coming from God with love. For me to love the message enough to speak what God say in love or out of love toward the people that the devil is trying to teach to hate. Isn't that beautiful? But God Almighty. Message. Speak the truth in love. We'll find in Ephesians 4:15 it said, speak the truth in love, present the truth, and life-giving. How do we speak the best way to speak the truth in love is through power and demonstration. Is to show them love. Isn't that something? Is to let them see the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart is spread abroad. And when they can see God working through a body, your life must be hid in Christ in God. And then God's word work in you, through you, and for you. And when you speak God's word, you're speaking love, who is God, coming out of a body that is born in sin, that is not perfect. And notice that God take our imperfection and makes us perfect. He take imperfected lips and speak perfect words out of us. Why? All have sinned, come short to the glory of God. God has nobody else that he can use. So he had to reach it back into the world he created, where he created man, where man fall, and get a fallen being that is imperfected and get into him and speak perfect words through him. Because he has nobody else in the realm to do this. See? But what the devil has contaminated. So how, and that is another form of God delivering what man, delivering man from his falls, his fall, and bring and rehabilitating and bring him back to the place that God created him through love. See? Present the truth and then life living. Timothy says, message is balanced, scriptural, doctrinal, sound, and spiritually right. That means we teach that the Bible is written in three languages: literal, symbolic, and figuratively, to the church, Jew and Gentile. Okay, so here we see he said that it must have balance. It must make sense. I am able now to enjoy, watch this here, both worlds with perfect balance, allowing my good by being in God to uphold my bad. Did y'all catch any of that? Okay. If you caught that, then you can understand what this is saying to you. See? Is that no man's perfect, for all have sinned, come short to the glory of God. But his perfectness is in God. His love is in God. See? And then if he walks in God, he walks in love, and he brings perfect balance even to the part of him that is not of God. Because God still uses this body that is supposed to be recognized as dead. And it doesn't mean it's dead. That if it's totally dead, God can't use you. See? You're through. You're over with here. But we ought to recognize the part that belonged to the world that the devil used in Adam and Eve, that belonged to him, that he uses to deliberate his message. We gave that part to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. That's the least you could do for God. And then when you do that, you have perfect balance. Now God's word gets into an imperfect soul, an imperfect body, and use it for perfection. And that sounds like balance to me. Glory be to God. Baby have to crawl before it gets up and walk. And when it walks, praise God, it learned to stand. After all, stand with your loins girded. So now the scriptural, that means we must be able to run reference, back the word up. If I'm talking about something in the Old Testament, let me go get something in the New Testament, because the old pointed to the new, to confirm and look back at the old, to bring sound doctrine and balance to the scripture. And then it must be doctrine. Okay? We not be doctrinized. Oh, you in this church, you in tradition denomination. I'm not tradition, neither am I denominational. I'm a prophet of God, sent by God to deliver his people. Amen. Why would I join a tradition and denominational church when it was the traditional elders that went to Herod and sold my Savior out? I want nothing to do with tradition or nothing. Traditional elders, traditional mother, traditional nobody. I don't want nothing to do with tradition. Traditional put Jesus on the cross. And then when they find out that I'm following him, they building my cross for me right now. So I'm not going in there. I am not denomination. Denomination separates people from God. See? That's why they said if you ain't Baptist, you're going to hell. If you ain't holiness, you're going to hell. You ain't Abian Zion, you ain't pushing hard to die, you ain't a Presbyterian, you ain't this. See, it's too many that if you ain't. How about if you just ain't got God in your life, you're going to hell? How about that? Amen. It's not about all these different names of the church, all these different tradition denominations and all this stuff. When Jesus, God gave me a coat of many colors many years ago when he called me to preach, he did like Joseph. Jacob gave his son a coat of many colors, but the first one had it was Lucifer. Lucifer had the first coat. He was an anointed cherub that covered the throne of God, and God made a coat for him and gave it to him, but he lost the right to wear it. Glory be to God, and was kicked out of heaven. But then when I asked God one day, I said, Lord, I saw two coats in the scriptures. What does it mean? He said to me, Jacob gave the coat to Joseph, his favorite son. and God gave it because he interpreted dreams, and he stood out from the other 11, see? And then God created that for Lucifer in heaven because he was stood over him as an anointed cherub, see? And then he lost the right. I said, well, Lord, I what is the coat of many colors? Because you said you give me the coat of many colors. He said, here's what it means. Coat of many colors. I just told you. In heaven, there'll be no black section, white section, Spanish section, Indian section, American. Oh, no. All God people are one. And the word of God must be for all. See? We're too divided. That's what denomination and tradition do. The devil uses that entity to separate people from me. See? And then when they separate, each form their own way with their own group. Oh, remind me of the first king that ever was on the earth. I know they said the first king was Saul, but no, let's bypass. Let's give you some spiritual wisdom. The first king was Nimrod, who built a tower from earth to glory. And then the people was all in one language. And they were bringing bricks and mortar, and they were building the building. They were built all the way from earth to glory. And the Lord said, let us go down and confound men's language. And that's when he confounded their language, and they started speaking all these different languages. Everybody went in their own separate way. That's where all these little groups started at. And then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind and filled the house, we were able to interpret languages in the earth that we couldn't speak before through the Holy Ghost. How be it that you understand what the Galatians and the Greeks are saying? But the Holy Spirit knows all language. It is the key to all languages. It's the understanding that's given in every language realm or barrier, that each person in their group can speak the Holy Ghost and understand Jesus. Because Jesus understands that he made all of those groups. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. So we need to understand exactly what God is saying, when he's saying it, and where he's saying it at. So there's a message that's coming from God. Amen. But are you made by God first to receive his message? Or are you out here camouflaging and personifying and just copying and hearing other preachers or reading other people's materials or whatever and just up giving messages that was really not made for you yet? Amen. God has to make the man, and after making the man, praise the Lord, then he gives you the message for the ministry. The ministry come, and then when you get the ministry, you got a message. And that message must be speak today in truth and in love. So now we find in Mark 16:20, God confirms his word. Isn't that beautiful? God does what? He confirms his word and not the person. Uh-oh. Sound like we're going to have some trouble in the camp. God is not confirming you, man of God, woman of God. You crook, you liar. Come on here, you witchcraft, you witches, warlock. God ain't got a thing. He ain't come back and you ain't confirming you. It says God confirms his word and not the person, pride, or your reputation. Doesn't mean nothing in the sight of God. Because God do what? God first makes a man. And then he gives man a ministry and a message. And when he gives that man a ministry, that's like what Jesus did. He poured himself into his disciples. Disciple mean Mephistus, learners. And after he poured himself into them, he commissioned them and sent them into this world to not go build what? Your own reputation. Not go make your own name. Not build your name up. But go into all the world and tell this world about me, what you learned from me. Go preach my name. They should not even know your name. Go preach my name. Huh? If I be lifted up from the earth, I would draw all the men unto me. Everybody would come to me if I just have somebody to just lift me up. But what you're trying to do is get everybody to come to you. Everybody should be coming to me. You can't heal nobody. You can't deliver nobody. You can't save nobody. I am the Savior. I'm the healer. I am the deliverer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But I need somebody to go before me and represent me. My message Sunday was, who will go and represent me? and introduce me to let the world know I'm coming. Is I got anybody worthy that can go before me? Talk about the good that I put into you. Talk about what I gave you. Don't go talk about what you learned. You go talk about me. There's many people out here that are sick, about to lose their mind. Some want to commit suicide. They're going through. They prayed to me. Father, send and deliver. God, heal me. God, bless me. And I can't come. And the only way I can come now is through you. It's through a vessel. Are you willing to go and represent me and stand on my behalf and shut your mouth? Means speak what you say about you. You can't do none of this. Open your mouth now and then let me, who sent you, talk to this person. They don't want to hear from you. They want to hear from me. Ain't Jesus good? Huh? And if you open up your mouth and say, Jesus, and if they sick, then Jesus, who laid hand on the sick, God Almighty, will heal the sick and raise the dead, open the blind eyes, cause the lame to walk. He'll do that. So we thank you today for hearing a little bit from the prophet of God. I was sent by God at the age of 7. My mother, an angel, encountered with my mother and told her, you shall have a son that will be a prophet for the end time nation. She kept me hedged, very protective, but not let me do like other children would do. I used to thought it was hard coming up as a youngster, watching my other siblings can go play and do this and do that, and you want to be in the midst of that, and she hollering, boy, get in this house. And you wonder why it's so unfair, but now I understand as I got older, she was protecting the God and the anointing that God placed in my life to help deliver other people. And she didn't want me to be contaminated by friends and by being with people who were not trustworthy or who could not present me. Hallelujah. So I thank God today, Miss Mom, Miss Dad, but one of these days, as I wrote in my book, we'll be able to walk and dance down the street that is called, that are paved with gold in the Holy New Jerusalem. Amen. I trust that I gave you these three parts of the 10 M's, and when we come back, we'll go back into the rest of it. Amen. Praise God. The next thing we're going to talk about is that, did you grow? Your growth and maturity. And we're going to go till we complete all, and then talk about your maturity, having the right attitude. Are you mature to be in a relationship? Are you ready for marriage? Hallelujah. Are you ready for these things? And if not, then you're not growing. And the past is all of our years of immaturity, but my future is all my years of maturity. And then so you can't come out until you learn a lesson. God will never bring you out. And the lessons push you into the spotlight of reality, and then you become the lesson that you learn. So God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise God. We'll see you. Tune back into the prophet. Amen. Praise the Lord for more good teaching on the word of God. Amen. Remember, God is the strongest power, and because he is, we are not defeated. Why? Because all of this is the Lord's work. God bless you. We trust you, and we always ask you, amen, that are listening, to help us continue to build up the kingdom of God. Amen. By how do we do this? The prophet always asks you to sow a seed. No, I'm not asking you for $10,000 and $5,000, amen, as most of the ministers do. But I'm asking you that if you learn anything from our Savior today, would you give back $1 for the life that he lived on this earth? He was 33 years old when he died. I have asked you to plant that $33 miracle seed to help us build up the kingdom of God. Amen. When you do that, amen, we'll give him back to everything the Savior have done to us. Amen. You can cash at me. Amen. Praise God. That is at the dollar sign. You call it the hashtag. Okay, just go there. Amen. Praise God. The dollar sign, Apostle of God. Amen. And your love and all your seeds that you'll sow, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit right now that it is manifesting itself and growing and becoming someplace and something you have no room to receive. But when you give a prophet a cold glass of water in the name that he is one, then you shall receive a prophet's reward. God bless you. May heaven smile on you, but always be my eternal prayers. Until next time.